Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with mascots and men who wear ascots. Let's get into this episode. You're here with Paul and Adrian. I forgot to say that part. Let's go.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to get a bunch of work done before convention, so.
A DSA stuff or life stuff?
Life stuff, work stuff. DSA stuff is, I should probably brush up more on the resolutions, but I'll go in and see what happens.
I would just vote how the person who keeps calling everybody a fascist votes.
Ooh, okay, yeah. The cool guy. Speaking of which, did you see the email that I forwarded you in, Phil?
I did, and now I'm wondering if I unsubscribe and resubscribe if I still get it.
Yeah, so for context, it's New York Times is offering a one-year deal for their games and stuff and their crossword. And if you do it today, you not only get the sale price, but you also get a free hat. And Phil said they weren't up to his taste, but I thought the Wordle hat looked really cool. I thought the crossword hat looked pretty cool. The Connections hat looks pretty cool.
The Connections is the one with the B, right?
I thought the Spelling Bee
one looked pretty cool.
The little B icon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only one I don't play, though. I feel like if someone asks me about what's on my hat, I'm going to have to be like, nothing. And then run.
Like me in my IU shirt.
Mm-hmm. You being a Hoosier.
I'm a Hoosier.
Being a fake Hoosier.
Oh, no. Wait, that kind of went Beatles-y.
Wait, Beatles-y?
Like,
a collective of all four of the Beatles, or what do you mean?
Yeah, it's me, the Beatles.
It's me, all the Beatles. Them. The boys from Liverpool.
I only know so many things about myself. And one of them's that for from Liverpool.
The boys from Liverpool.
Man, that Abbey Road, not so busy.
You really take your time to take a picture there. Anyways, yeah, so wait, what's been going on with you, pal?
Oh, not too much. Isabel had a friend over this weekend, a college friend came to visit us, and interestingly, she actually works for a company that makes a insulin pump. I don't know if it's your insulin pump. She was explaining to me that apparently insulin pumps are a lot. I think I got it wrong. I told her you had a monitor, but you have a pump, and she was saying the pumps are much easier. The monitors are only two companies do them, and much like harder to design or develop.
Dexcom and Libre, yeah.
Yeah. Took her to Tanari, which you liked when you visited DC. Mm-hmm. And it was she also liked it, so I think that's going to be on the repeat list. Oh, also, I don't think our podcast has a wide viewership in DC. I think it's more my Carolina friends that listen to it, but if anybody finds themselves in DC, Amy's Grill and Graze just opened up near me. It's a very confusing we did a whole episode.
Concept?
It's a very confusing fusion restaurant. And it's
were they
like
fusing grilling
Indian,
and grazing?
Mediterranean, American, Italian. It feels like everything's on their menu. It's a massive menu. I feel like it's a little overextended. It's delicious, but I've been in there like four times now, a bunch of times for coffee. I think they're going to go under because they're new and they're in a building that has had three turnovers in the 1 year I've lived in DC. And I'm worried they're going to go under, so I would like to use the power of this podcast to point people to Amy's Grill and Graze. Let's get them some business.
The bump.
I don't want them to go under because I do like their food. They're so conveniently close to me. They're the best thing that's been in that spot. I think it's probably the owner or head manager because it's the same woman in there every time I go in.
Mm.
And she seems really nice. And, you know, yeah, we need that Big Facts No Cap bump. We need those Big Fat Freaks.
She's a fusion of Italian, Indian, American?
She seems South Asian, so presumably. Mm. But they also have Momo dumplings, which is like Nepali. So it's like it really has food from everywhere. I also am a little concerned that they overextended themselves. I'm like, did you guys need an espresso machine? Like, I like that you have it because it's nice for me to come here and get drinks, but it's like maybe you should have opened with like a smaller menu and not so much of everything. They have like a full gelato bar. as well. And I'm like, I don't know if anybody's coming here for ice cream since you opened.
That seems like a fun time. I don't
know
if people would
know that you have it, but
they open during the summer.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, speaking of which, the man, was it a Rite Aid or something? No, it wasn't a Rite Aid because there's a Rite Aid in the same complex. But in the same complex as my Planet Fitness, something closed down a long time ago, and then it's been under construction forever. I looked it up today. Friday, while we're at convention, it opens, and it's a new, like, bowling alley arcade food place. So, kind of cool to be that close to that.
Nice.
Might be fun. It is not that far away from the other bowling place that also does, like, arcade and food stuff. But, you know, hey, more the merrier. I'll take it.
Competish. That's what makes capitalism so good.
Little competish, yep.
The best one will stay open, and the other one, well, the owners and workers will starve.
Or they'll amalgamate, and one will buy the other.
Oh.
And then fire all the employees. And replace them with loyalists.
Replace them with AI.
Ooh, yeah. Do you have any media roundup or anything?
No, I don't have media roundup.
Damn. Paul's not watching anything. Yeah, I don't have anything either. I just have what's not media, but just a life roundup. I've been getting into sewing as a way to wind down at the end of the night, although it is sometimes frustrating. But did I ever tell you about the college professor that Justin and I both had? Mrs. Mathis, I think. She was our computer programming professor, but we had her at different times. But she had very clear vocal mannerisms that we would kind of joke about. And one of the things that she did whenever she taught you how to do something else in HTML and, like, you know, change your website up is she'd talk about how much power you have. She'd be like, I'm giving you guys so much power. and that's kind of how it feels to be able to, like, mend your own clothing. And, like, I sewed up my Bojangles biscuit pillow so that it's no longer leaking stuffing. I fixed the pockets on, like, 4 pairs of shorts. I fixed buttons on shirts. I fixed buttons on shorts. And it just feels It's an insane feeling to feel like you have that much power to create in the world. I'm not that good at it. My sewing and stitching isn't great, and I'm having a lot of trouble hemming pants, but I'm sure I'll get there eventually. The other thing is that I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that the stitching is going to show because I don't want to learn the more complicated way to hem where it doesn't show. It's like, I don't really care. I just need the pants shorter, and if the, like, you know, sewing line isn't that great, I don't really care.
I sew sometimes, and it really is, like, a skill you can get so much better at, but you just need more opportunities than I think my own wardrobe allows for.
Yeah, shout out to Emily, who has been my, not really guru, YouTube's really been my guru, but she's been my point person talking about sewing. She was telling me about how she tried to sew a dress this year, and when she finally tried it on, it was, like, wrinkling up and, like, bunching up in places where it wasn't supposed to. And she was like, after I took that L, I kind of just took a break from sewing for a while, and I was like, hey, that's how it happens. I quit comedy for a year after I lost to a comedy magician. Any hobby you've been working on? Doing your circuit cutter?
Recently, I've been... The other week, I made a soundboard that, for whatever reason, I still haven't figured out what to do about this. You couldn't hear on your end, which is so confusing to me, because it's like, when I record the audio coming out, I can hear it. So it's like, why can't you hear it? But I don't know, I don't know. I need to look into, like, if Zoom only takes, like, the L or R channel or whatever. It's probably something stupid like that that I just need to adjust some settings on.
Okay. Zoom's always taking the L.
But yeah, that's always fun to buy some microelectronics and solder them together and write a little program. Cool. Anything else off top?
No, I saw Claro did Hot Ones Versus with another singer. And all I could think about while I was watching it while making a sandwich. By the way, shout out to you. I've been making sandwiches a bunch recently instead of... Well, actually, I'm still cooking because it still tastes better if you toast the bread with butter and melt the cheese. So I'm still cooking. But, you know, it's a pretty quick meal. But I was making a sandwich before this and Clara was on the TV that I was watching. And I just keep thinking of the time where... I can't remember if it was like Coachella or what it was, but Pierce was telling me about how Bernie Sanders opened for Claro to, like, talk about his tour when that was happening. And there's just something in my head, a little earworm of Bernie Sanders singing Sexy to Someone that just keeps playing in my head. It just, sexy to someone is all I ever want.
Is all I ever want.
In the richest country in the history of the world, sexy to somebody is all I ever want. And I don't know why it cracks me up.
The billionaires and oligarchy.
Nothing more, nothing less. Just sexy to someone.
They don't want you to be sexy.
I don't know. If you know that song, you know what Bernie Sanders sounds like. Feel free to let that permeate in your mind. It made me laugh.
it's one of those crossovers where I guess like cool musicians, they got to go for the leftist candidate, because I know MJ Lenderman had Zoran speak at his show in New York before the primary win by a good bit. So shout out MJ Lenderman. I don't know if Zoran has a unique enough voice to do an impression of him being like,
yeah, not really.
Saw Dan Marino at the Harris Teeter.
Is that your favorite MJ song?
I think so.
And is it true that his name is Michael Jackson Lenderman?
I honestly don't know. I don't think his, I think his initials are MJ. I don't think his name is Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I thought
it was like
a,
I thought it was like an Actors Guild thing where you couldn't take someone else's name.
No, I
so you had to change it to an MJ Lenderman.
Wait, why did we say Jackson? It's Michael Jordan is who he's referencing. I don't know why I let that go.
What? I thought they're both singers.
Oh, that's what you thought was going on.
Yeah, yeah. But although, yeah, there is Michael Jordan and Michael B. Jordan, yeah.
Did Wait. Michael Jordan?
Yeah, because he acted in Space Jam?
Yeah.
Is that why?
Wait, the MJ thing is just, I think he's a fan of Michael Jordan. I think, and his initials are also MJ.
Wait, is that really what it is? His name isn't just like Michael James or something like that?
He references Michael Jordan all the time. He has songs about him.
I don't know. I don't really listen to MJ Lenderman like that. I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't have to be sorry, man. I'll just tell you.
I apologize. I should.
Hey, man, it's okay.
I know he's cool. I know he's got a big old schlong that he puts on his album covers.
This feels like when I do that bit where I'm like, oh, I'll just kill myself then. I think you hate me that much. when I get something slightly wrong.
I don't know why. I didn't. When I thought MJ Lenderman, I didn't think basketball is my favorite sport. I love the way they dribble up and down the court. If you had to change your name or alter it in order to be in a union or a agency, I don't know. I forgot what the rule is. What would you do?
Yeah, I would have to Americanize my name so that I could be accepted. Although I do like that nobody in Dropout does that. They just keep their immigrant names. None of them are doing a...
And it makes you so angry. You're so peeved.
It makes me so angry. Yeah, I'd just be Paul
You're cheesed
Stevenson.
Cheesed off. Ooh,
I'm cheesed.
Interesting. Paul Stevenson. You wouldn't take the opportunity to finally change your name to Wolfgang?
Paul Wolfgang? Oh, that would be cool. Paul Wolfgang Amadeus.
I think I'm safe because you can spell Adrian in many different ways. So I think what I would do is I would finally make my former roommate happy and spell it A-D-R-I-E-N like he continues to do to this day.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that was a spelling.
I don't think it is, but it could be. I guess the other spelling I know is like Adrian from the Cheetah Girls, which I would not do. I'm not doing an A-D-R-I-A-N-N-E or whatever.
I think that feels very feminine.
That's not even my problem with it. It's just too many letters.
Oh, yeah. Your wrist would start to hurt.
Yeah, that's true. Have you ever written something for the first time after like only typing for like months and you're like, oh my God, what the hell?
That is actually very relatable. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Oh, man, my handwriting's shit now.
Cool. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Mascots.
Mascots. Mascots of all varieties for ads, for colleges, for what else has mascots? I guess in Japan, every town has a mascot, but I'm not too familiar with those.
Yeah. The big can of Sapporo that just walks around.
Yeah. And then is it do we consider like Pikachu a mascot or so like those things? Those
yeah. Kind of? Not the other Pokemon,
Hello Kitty?
But Pikachu is a mascot, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Kitty is. I guess if Hello Kitty is, that makes Labubu a mascot, which we have not dropped our Labubu opinions on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fully fledged opinion. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's the devil's work.
Stand on business. Because it's Chinese?
No, I think it's just because he looks so like grimacing. I think
is Labubu a dude? I thought Labubu was a gal.
I think they're an Enby.
Oh, okay. Well, then you misgendered them just now, but okay.
I'm sorry, Labubu.
Now Labubu's coming for you.
They really are so scary. But I think it is one of those things like the Yu-Gi-Oh moms, right? Like
Satanic
Harry Potter is... Yeah, I think it's a satanic panic thing. I think there's like a middle America thing about Labubu. Like
is that actually happening? I don't know.
I mean, I think probably as much as it was happening for Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff, I bet you there's Southern parents who are like, oh no, you can't have a Labubu.
Yeah, I grew up with one of those. I know that.
It really is like shocking to remember how many parents I knew that like my friends would be like, oh, I can't read Harry Potter or I can't watch Yu-Gi-Oh because of this
I can't play Pokemon because there's evolution
issues.
In it.
Yeah. I'd never heard that one, but I'm sure
that was my neighbor.
Some of my friend's parents. Yeah.
Until they got to an older age.
I don't know. I had a friend who finally got to Harry Potter in like late high school. I was like, that is so long to have that book kept from you.
It makes it's that much sweeter when you finally read it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Harry Potter does that spell to kick someone out of the girl's bathroom.
But anyway, we're talking about mascots.
Oh, yeah. Mascots. Yeah. Your favorite mascot or any mascots you've encountered? How did you feel about our school mascots growing up? Should we round those up? Mariner?
Oh, yeah. We didn't really have a mascot for it. We just had a picture of a sailboat in our school's logo.
It was a sailboat?
I mean,
a theme tune?
I think they should have gotten a couple of us to dress up as a boat for our big games, for our big elementary school games.
Middle school, we got to vote on our mascot. Yeah. And none of my suggestions were taken even into the final round.
You don't remember that, though? I always felt like it was so, I remember thinking it was so, what do you call it, staged, because it was like, one of them was a butterfly, and I'm like, okay, clearly they don't want that to win. Mm. That's like a joke one. I did vote for the butterfly.
Butterfly would be a beautiful mascot. Choose like a local South Carolina one?
I know, it would have been cool, but I don't think they thought that the elementary school middle schoolers were actually going to vote for a butterfly.
Mm.
I feel like it was rigged in favor of, what did we end up being, the Cougars? Which was... Who would vote for that? That was so clearly the most boring one of the three or four we had to pick what from.
I remember, I think I wanted Venus Flytrap is one that I put in. Because that's what I would always do when we had soccer scrimmages. If you were doing like a five-a-side team, just split up during practice. And you'd be like, all right, what are you guys? I'd always be like, Venus Flytrap, that's a cool mascot. We always had animal mascots. We didn't have a lot of like knights, pirates.
Wasn't the other middle school the Mustangs? Or was that the other elementary
Midway
school?
Mustangs, yeah. Very animal-based mascots where we grew up. We were Wildcats in high school, around the height of the High School Musical sequel, or maybe the third one. So that was really easy when we did High School Musical as a play in high school, I think, one year, is that we just had all the Wildcat gear anyways.
Oh, yeah, and you got the role of the basketball, right?
Ben Schaefer was bouncing me around the whole time. He was bouncing on my ass. This is in middle school that we did High School Musical, that Ben did get the lead, and I got cast as one of the guys who does like a funny bad audition when they're doing the audition for the school play, and then I skipped the production entirely to go to an anime convention and had to do a separate assignment.
Who was your second?
Who was my second?
Yeah. Who was your understudy?
Oh, who took over for me? TJZ.
Oh.
Yeah, friend of the pod. We've shouted out his YouTube channel before. I'm sure it's still going strong.
I don't know why we're being so mean. We're putting content out on the internet.
He's the one who took me out so he could get my place.
Oh, yeah. He got the convention moved to the same weekend, much like that blonde villain in High School Musical got the basketball game moved to the same day.
Exactly.
As the quiz bowl.
I believe you're thinking of Ashley Tisdale.
Oh, yeah. But I was actually trying to think of the character's name. It was like a fancy car,
Sharpay.
Right? Sharpay.
Is that
true? That's what it was.
Is that me saying yeah. Sharpie with an accent?
No, I think you got it right. It was Sharpay.
All right. She's playing Sharpay Johnson. I don't remember who played Sharpay Johnson in our version of the play, but I had an
alternate
assignment.
You clocked out after your scene. You were out. Yeah.
I think I had to go to the library and do an alternate assignment every time. Fun times. The principal found out about it and sat down with me at lunch one time to ask me about the convention. He was like, so you're going to like a dress them up thing or something like that? And I was like, yes, sir. That's what I'm doing. We already had the tickets and we already had the hotel, so we can't miss it, sir.
I forgot how heavy your accent was back in South Carolina.
And that was Dr. Bleep, because his name's a slur.
That is true. We did have a middle school principal whose last name was a slur.
Canonically, it was a slur, and he was a very tall man, so no one ever brought it up to him.
Yeah, because otherwise, us woke children would have really made a big deal about it.
We would have canceled him for sure.
We were menaces.
Now we're going to get contentious, but college mascots, Tiger, super exciting.
Did you ever meet Cocky?
Super original.
I met the Tiger at Clemson.
What?
He would hang out on the bridge sometimes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He actually hung out on the bridge enough, like on game days or before game weekends or whatever, that I actually was sometimes a little bit like, oh my God, I don't want him to do a little bit to me as I walk by. I'm just not feeling this today. I just want to get across this goddamn bridge.
Wow. See, I would stop for Cocky no matter what. I break for Cocky. That's my boy right there. That's my
dog.
That's
your boy?
Mm-hmm. Now, the actual real rooster or whatever that gets treated incorrectly or inhumanely somehow, I think we stopped doing that, so I don't have to talk about that. You can't make me.
One of the things my brother brought up talking about college mascots is he said, he's like, what is that thing where, this is my impression of my brother, he's like, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? That thing where apparently, like, it's a tradition or, like, at least a well-known story that at a lot of colleges they keep it secret who the mascot is, and then the student who was the mascot reveals it on graduation day by wearing the feet.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say on that Magician's Tricks Finally Revealed show. The last episode was all the mascots being revealed as well.
Oh yeah, after the finale of that show he was just like, also I'm not just doing magician's tricks anymore. I'm just kind of a dick. So I'm just going to reveal Santa isn't real, by the way, if any kids are in the audience.
Wait, is that a thing? Is it like a student's job to be the mascot and to keep it secret?
That was my brother's question. He's like, you should look into that. What happens? I did not look into it, so I do not have an answer for you. He's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, how would they keep it secret that long? Would all his friends not be confused where he went to on game days?
Yeah, literally doing like a Clark Kent and being like, we never see you at the football games.
Yeah, it's exactly a Clark Kent. They're like, why does it look like you have something under your t-shirt and it's a massive mascot body? Okay, college mascots. I don't know. I don't have like super close feelings to the tiger, but he was cool. He was fine.
Yeah, yeah. We've gone over a few in some of the weirdest ones in a third segment before. Shout out to the gooey duck at Evergreen. And you know, the banana slug and the frog from Texas Christian University. I like a good mascot. I did find when searching for advice columns that it seems like and once again, we've also done a third segment about canceled mascots from food ads. It seems pretty common now that in this post, being very careful about what your mascot is world, they really do form like task teams that are like, your task is to come up with a mascot for this thing, make it relevant and culturally appropriate.
Which doesn't seem hard. It just seems like you need one person with a good head on their shoulders at the filter it out phase to be like, you can't be the...
You can't be the Alamo Sombreros. Anything else you wanted to bring up? Your favorite TV ones or your favorite animal ones or your food ads or weird things like when I was looking up like famous mascots and it was like MailChimp or whatever. And I was like, is that really do people really care about that one at all?
Has he ever been animated or is that just a picture of an animal on their logo?
Oh, he's in like season 23 of the show, I think.
Oh, is this like the Geico thing where they have 15 mascots and one of them got a show for some reason?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nick Kroll plays the monkey, yeah.
I guess talking about like animal mascots that are more just like iconography, that's like how Toys R Us is with their giraffe. I don't think that giraffe's ever hanging out.
Well, I think they used to do it in the commercials as like a CGI giraffe, but now it has a little cartoony version. I don't know how many Toys R Us's are left, but I feel like he had a name, Jeffrey, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that's always like a fun little fact is like, oh, did you know that Captain Crunch's actual name is Horatio Magellan Crunch Bunch or whatever?
Well, they're the famous actual like explorer, right? Like that's another Marco Polo figure, is a Horatio.
First guy to circumnavigate the world, right?
Okay, yeah, I didn't remember that, but...
Well, some of us paid attention in sixth grade social studies.
Oh yeah, that was world history. The general, I hope that they've made an actual IRL costume for him, and not just that weird CGI guy that hangs out with Shaq.
See, this is kind of part of what I was going to say
Shaq
is like...
the general the N-word pass ever, or...
Oh, absolutely. He already had it. He was like, I didn't need it, but I'll take it. Oh, yeah, if I were to design a mascot for anything, I just don't think I'd ever do a human, but I guess that goes back to my, like, school mascots that are, like, the Friars, like, Pierce and Nicole went to a religious college where that was their mascot. Those just don't appeal to me as much.
Yeah. If you're actually religious, aren't Friars, like, kind of, like, the whole, like, I don't know.
No, what, they're supposed to be the Providence Popes?
Yeah, we're the fighting nuns.
The fighting nuns.
We take God very seriously. That's why we're the Archangel Gabriels.
Ooh, speaking of Satanic Panic, the Davis High School, where they're the Devils.
Ooh.
Yeah, same thing for the soccer team that I follow. Their mascot is a little devil guy.
Mm. Milan.
It's pretty cute. Yeah. Your little red
devil. Is there any other good, like, European soccer mascots? Do any of them do anything, like, unexpected? I guess the Gunners, it's like, what are they? They just, like, roll out a...
Like a cannon?
Roll out a cannon.
Do you think that's cooler?
No, I'm just, it's odd.
Oh, I should probably know this. Yes. The answer is yes. I don't know if there are that many that I can think of off the top of my head.
How do you think Shaq and the General met? What's the backstory there? How'd they become
They went
buds?
To college together.
Oh, that makes sense.
And they grew up together a little bit. Their moms went to the same church.
Oh.
What if That's how the general that- already had that N-word pass. He was already going to black churches.
it turns out the general was like, he's not a U.S. military general. This man fought for like the, he fought for the Serbians. he's a war criminal.
But he knows how to get you some good rates on insurance. Why is insurance so big on mascots? Why is that a mascot-based industry?
Yeah, what's the progressive has a swan?
Flo.
Flo.
And you're thinking right, of the Aflac right. duck.
The Aflac duck.
And then the Geico Gecko. The State Farm Jeff? No, Stan? Jake from State Farm. Speaking of which, in Wokeness Gone Mad, now he's black.
Wasn't he always?
No, first Jake from State Farm was a white guy, schlubby white guy.
Do not.
And they turned him
that.
Into a fit black guy.
Jake is the one that like appears out of nowhere, right? Like he teleports to you after a crash.
No, but that's also Allstate has Mayhem. The guy played from the dude from 30 Rock. That was in a lot of like most popular mascots list that I looked up. But I was like, it's a guy who represents bad luck. I don't care. No, State Farm. The original State Farm was, it was the fact that they were like, you can contact them anytime. So the wife is like, who are you on the phone with in the middle of the night? What's her name? What's she wearing? And it's like, my name's Jake. I'm wearing khakis.
That's good. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
They turned Flo animated, right? They took away real Flo animated? And they turned her into like a
Are you
cartoon.
Just talking about the Lithuanian movie from last year? No, I think Flo is still Flo, right?
I just remember at some point Flo became like she looked like that sort of corporate art style and she was like an action hero, or am I mixing her up with another mascot?
I don't you think that Flo had to go into a video game to solve a Scooby-Doo mystery and so she became animated?
Maybe I'm wrong. I've already gotten so many of these like half remembered.
Oh, brother. The whole point of these things is to be memorable.
I know. I'm just unobservant.
Uninterested, maybe.
Yeah, because I'm Adbusters pilled, man. I think advertisements are the devil's work.
Oh yeah,
to
you're real.
Themselves in your brain.
You're a real Bill Hicks like that, yeah.
Yeah, my hero.
Your hero.
He's kind of a mascot for like edgy internet atheists.
Are there any ones that I'm actually favorites of? I mean, cereal mascots are always kind of fun.
Yeah, because I mean they're. Advertising at children. It's like bright, colorful.
Yeah. Fast food mascots. You're Ronald McDonald.
Ooh. Shout out to Ron.
Your Burger King.
Not going to lie. Ron definitely. It's like his entourage is cooler than him. Grimace?
Yeah. It's about the company you keep. You show me your friends. I'll show you who you are. You're a big purple dude.
the Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar. Cool. Chicken Nugget Chicks. The dog. The others. The rest. And then, Phil didn't know, shout out to Phil, besides the Chicago Bulls, he also did not know that a Jack in the Box had a mascot.
Is it not just a Jack in the Box?
It's a guy in a suit who has the Jack in the Box head, who talks like a normal guy with a pretty distinct voice.
When are we going to break that glass ceiling and have him become CEO?
I thought you were saying they're going to revamp it as a woman or something like that.
Oh, no, I just meant like the fact that you said he talks in a normal voice, like he's just a very like regular guy. He just looks like a mascot. Pleasure to meet you, Jack.
Pleasure to meet you. I've got a huge ass head, but otherwise, I'm pretty regular.
They told me if I took this, there was a lot of opportunities to work my way up. I'm not just a joke. I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth here.
I think we need to focus on tacos. We need to focus on marketing to stoners.
You know, I don't go to Jack in the Box ever. I don't think I've ever been to one, but that is, really? They're one of those places that like confusingly does have like tacos and burgers, right?
They have tacos, burgers, teriyaki bowls, burritos, I think.
They have teriyaki bowls? That is odd. That's too much.
It's too much. They have egg rolls. It was...
They're like Amy's Grill and Gray's. Like, you really need to focus. You're overextending here.
When I lived in Davis, it was one of the few places besides 7-Eleven that had, like, food past, I think, like, midnight or something like that. So there were, like, maybe one or two nights where I've had a little bit of Jack in the Box. All right. Do you want to get into a column?
Yeah, let's do it.
Once again, I don't know why I'm so bad at searching for certain advice column topics. I feel like I had a lot of trouble finding a good one. But I found this advice column from St. Margaret of Scotland Catholic School in St. Louis, Missouri. It is not a mascot question. It is a question answered by a mascot. And this is their mascot, Mrs. Maggie. Around the water cooler, Dear Maggie, May 15th, 2025. It seems like it mostly runs during the school year, so I think this is the last one before school let out for the summer. She looks like a little dragon lady, I guess because it's a Scottish-Irish thing, with little glasses, little granny glasses with the like bead holder thing. All right, here we go. Dear Maggie. Oh, this is also her first time appearing on the podcast. Maybe she'll make a return appearance if she does a good job. Dear Maggie, the inquiries in your recent columns have really resonated with me. I believe this is usually sent in by parents, by the way. Dear Maggie, the inquiries in your recent columns have really resonated with me. I, too, have felt the impulse to run screaming from my schedule, and now I fear I'm going to pay the consequences. Somehow, my summer camp planning just sort of fell apart. Between missing camp deadlines and getting beat out on several of the registrations, hello, waitlist, I now worry that I'm going to pay for it by getting constant screen requests from my kids because of their sheer boredom. The good news is that I have a lighter schedule during the summer too, and I actually look forward to being able to spend some time, some more relaxing fun time with my kids. But I'm definitely looking for ideas. So if you have anything to share about your summer plans that might give me some inspiration, help a girl out and fire away. From Camp Weary Carrie. So I guess it's a little bit late in the summer to be doing this, but Paul, summer fun.
Okay, there's 104 days of summer vacation, and the challenge is to find a good way to spend it. I don't remember.
You skipped a few lines there. You did the speed run version of it. There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Thank you.
Is that Bowling for Soup, or who does that?
I just assumed the Baker, since they make so many songs for those characters.
Oh, I think it's Danny Brown. I can't remember who they got to do that for them. Okay, you're saying just copy whatever Phineas and Ferb do. I think they do a lot more whimsical stuff than you have the budget for.
Oh, okay. That's not in the budget. They could watch Phineas and Ferb.
They could. That's a good way to spend the summer.
Why don't you be cool like those kids and find your own fun?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how Scotland is, but there's so many things in America from my nieces and nephew.
Oh, no, this is St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, it's called
St. Margaret of
Scotland.
St.
Margaret of Scotland. Oh, there's so many things.
Yeah, I never understood that. Can you explain that as a Catholic? What's with, schools being called, Our Sweet Lady of Sorrow or Our Dear Lady of Punishment or whatever?
Just named after the church, but I guess
that's what churches are called?
Yeah.
And then what's that about? Why are we calling churches things like that?
Oh, I don't know. That's a bigger cultural question that I have an answer for.
Why don't we just call it Da Church?
Because of Da Bears?
Da Church.
Yeah, based off what I know from my nieces and nephews, there's so many activities for kids. There's all these little strip mall gyms where they have classes. Mm. Every day you go to basically do activities that are led by a teacher, which are versions of there's a lot of it. You know, it's a padded floor and there's a lot of walk the beam or jump over this or learn to do a somersault.
Has anyone ever done a joke about trying to buy clothes at a strip mall and not being able to find any? Because it's a strip mall. How are we doing tonight, folks? Sorry, I was paying attention. That sounds good.
Those are day camps. You can take them for an hour or two.
Which, if the issue is that you're not organizing well enough, it doesn't seem like the issue is money. But if the issue is money, your local library always has stuff going on. I was at the library the other day. Not trying to make this into an argument, but there was a lady who was an unhoused woman who was sitting at a table with me while I was at the library who commented about how fast I type. So some people think I type very fast, Paul. But I was at the library.
You mean the elderly person who still thinks typing is an abstract skill?
But I was at the library the other day when they were doing Studio Ghibli Fest in the library common room where they had drawing and stuff.
Did you meet Totoro?
I did not actually attend. And also, I remember texting Phil and Drake, I think, when I was at the Los Davis Library a while ago, and they had a cute name for it, but it was puppy hour. It was they have dogs, and if you want to go play with a dog, we got some puppies in there.
Oh, did they not have that at USC during finals week? That was a thing at Clemson where it's like, unwind.
Do you think I didn't say that's the corniest shit ever?
Hey, I'm not saying I did it. I'm just saying I've heard of this idea of like bringing, also like an adoption.
Yeah, but I don't think the idea for kids is that they need to de-stress before finals. I think the idea for kids is more of like, this is a fun thing they can do. It's not suicide prevention for
kids. You it's actually targeted at getting the parents to adopt a puppy. That's almost certainly run by like a local shelter.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So then never mind. Don't do stuff with your local library. They're just trying to con you into buying dogs.
Yeah, when the parent walks away for a second, the person's like, you know, we're going to have to kill him if he doesn't get adopted.
If you have a good place to swim, you can always go to the creek. Always a fun time.
That's true.
What did you spend your summers doing back in the old days in the old country?
I had friends in the neighborhood, so it was a lot of just going out and doing that knock on somebody's door and ask their parents if they can come out and play.
Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up in a cul-de-sac or a neighborhood, so I didn't have to do the knocking on the door and asking if they were free. It was more of I would just go to my neighbor's house and we'd do shit.
Yeah. Was it like your parents knew what time they would be there, or you just knew if you showed up in the morning?
Well, my mom knew that that's where she goes to work, so I would clock in with her and then I'd hang out with the kids.
Fun.
Yeah, they had a farm. We would sometimes call it adventuring anytime we'd go out into the really swampy woods in between our houses. Definitely lost some shoes and shit doing that. A lot of make-believe playing. There was this, I can't remember what it was from.
How about the farmland behind y'all's place, or would you get in trouble for treading into that area since it was like actually farm?
Once we moved from the trailer to that house, that was the shortcut way to get to their house. So I would do that all the time. No one cared. I would sometimes sneak some cilantro if we needed it, or whatever they were growing. There's nothing really to do in there, but I would go through there. But I remember there was like these big charred logs that were all in this kind of like big pile, in the farmland that they had. I don't know what they had used it for, but we definitely turned it into a pit where we did Agni Kai's playing Avatar The Last Airbender because it kind of looked kind of metal.
Oh. Yeah.
And you kind of had like a interesting terrain to traverse across while playing.
I think I've mentioned this on pod before, but there was like woods behind my house. We'd spend a lot of time in like creeks, and there was a bamboo forest. It was a lot of land back
then.
And
you guys had a swimming pool, though. We had a gross pond that we had to swim in.
Oh, yeah. We did used to go to the swimming pool.
Because you were a pool boy birthday party.
Yeah. But I think I've mentioned this before was the one time this was like elementary school. We used to go into the woods and we'd do something called rock fights, which was where we would throw rocks at each other.
That's the most drinking out of the hose type bullshit I've heard in a while.
We would split into two teams. And you would throw rocks at each other, and you were supposed to be out if you got hit, but one kid obviously eventually, like, I think we did it a handful of times, and the time it stopped was when somebody had their head busted open, and the parents, I remember, like, one of the parents, just, like, their reaction of just, like, when we told them what we were doing, just, like, the exasperated, fucking kidding me? You guys were playing rock fight. Yes, obviously there's no more rock fight. You're not allowed to do that. I think the best part of that is in our mind, we were being responsible because we set out rules where we were like, okay, like you only throw underhanded and you can only have a rock up to this size. So like we thought we were like, we had it covered. We were like, I mean, how could this go bad?
Honestly, that kid seems like they must be pretty uncoordinated. They got gashed by an underhand thrown rock.
I think people cheated. I think that's how we set out the rules, but you got hit by a rock or two and some people were pitching them.
Man, throwing rocks. I think this was less of a summer activity and more of a walking down my driveway after being dropped off by the bus activity. But the way that like in childhood, like you'd have like an extra, like you're like, I don't know, I don't need to do any homework right now. And so there was like this little drainage thing in the pond on the way to my house or like through my driveway where we would just sit there and try and throw rocks into it. And we do that for like an hour to see. It was basically penny can, but for kids.
One of our more mischievous friends, Hunter, who I wasn't hanging out with, I think this was more a middle school thing, but I remember him telling me once that he got in trouble because him and his friend would throw rocks at cars. And I was like, terrifying.
Yeah.
But he lived on a more like regular street, not a neighborhood street where people would drive by fast. And it's like, Oh, God, yeah. That seems so terrifying for those drivers.
I think we threw water balloons at cars once when we were at his house, yeah. Which, another great summer activity.
Water, it always takes so long to fill them up. And then
now they have the new devices where you can fill up like 100 at a time, yeah.
Yeah,
and they automatically don't burst on
impact every time, too, which was always so disappointing when you got a good sling. Yeah, that's just you being a weak
thrower, yeah.
Oh, come on, man. I was trying my best.
You gotta give it a good sling. It'll pop.
Yeah.
I wonder, what do you think the technology in Super Soakers is now? How crazy do you think those are going
has
now?
Has it gotten better, you think?
What, do you think it's getting worse? You think Trump defunded the department that works on Super Soakers?
I thought it was like the TI-84, where it's like they keep it responsible. They don't want to give you too good of technology.
God, that was bullshit. What is that, like a $100 calculator that we had to buy for school?
Even though it was like technology from the 80s, they were like, best, we're going to make it.
This is the best thing we can get is made by Texas Instruments.
But I feel like we're giving more advice to the kids. This is like parents. Like, what should the parents plan for them to keep them entertained? These aren't outdoor kids anymore, Adrian. Times have changed.
I guess so. I mean, I only recently found out that we have pretty good and cool public pools in Yolo County and in Natomas where I house sit. I went to go to a park just to walk, and I was like, holy shit, there's like a whole thing with like slides and shit. And I looked it up on Google Maps, and it's like, yeah, it's $8 to get in, and it's just open to the public every day.
Oh, ours are just open to the public if you have a DC residency.
I gotta make some money on these.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about St. Louis.
You gotta get them some toasted ravioli and take them to the chess museum. I guess it seems like the parent mostly just doesn't want to do screen time. Although, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's not exactly screen time, but there's probably going to be some, like, you know, summer movies in the park type stuff at night. There's probably going to be some, you know, maybe like a summer concert series. What else?
Missouri gets
them
pretty hot,
video
right?
Games?
You can't just, like, release them into the outdoors.
I was there in November. I don't know. Also, I think there's too many. I don't think people do that anymore. I don't think people do the latchkey kid thing.
Yeah. I guess that can be pretty limited based on, like, where you live to just, like, release them.
Release them? Well, you want to spend time with them, too. Get them into a summer sport. Get them into summer league.
Yeah, I guess the whole, like, we didn't get them into a camp thing is very much like, but have you exhausted your other options, like the gyms, like the children's gyms or the, like, dance classes or, I mean, there's always, like, jiu-jitsu, karate, those sorts of things, too.
Now, I don't know if this wasn't allowed
like
in Catholic
said, other sports.
I don't know if this wasn't allowed in Catholic churches, but did you ever do the sleepovers at church thing?
My church didn't, no.
Oh, well, there's probably, you know, I don't want kids staying after.
Watch yourself.
I don't know if that was a summer event in particular, but I do remember having fun doing that a couple times as a kid. I forgot what we called it. It was called like a lock-in or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Very dangerous, by the way. What if a fire starts? All those children are locked in.
Yeah. They're all working at that triangle shirt factory, fabric factory.
I always thought that those were cool because, yeah, obviously some of those churches had like really big office areas and then you could play like hide and seek in the dark. And
I think for us it was in the really gym cool. is what we did it. Yeah, in the big gym.
The one I did it in was in middle school and it was that church across from, what is it, the mill?
But, I don't know. I don't know, maybe because I spent a lot of time in community spaces that I just feel like I'm always seeing flyers of, like, art, thing this today at 2 p.m., movie night next Friday, whatever. I don't know.
People do seem to put up a lot of, like, free or low-cost events for children. Like, I guess, maybe Dear Maggie has to answer this, but it feels like there's probably a repository of like a lot of stuff, especially in any major city of like, you can probably fill up a summer with activities with your kids if you know
cheap
the right places
the
to look. Cheap chick in the city.
Mm-hmm. And if all else fails, let them watch some TV. It's summer.
Yeah. Come on now. Let them be an iPad baby for a little bit.
Let them be an iPad baby for a little bit. And I don't know. I don't think she said how old they were. Because, like, if they're old enough, I don't know, you could, like, actually start getting them into the gym or something, or teaching them how to cook or something cool like that.
Oh, like a family hobby or a family learned activity, a garden?
Yeah.
That you can tend every morning for an hour?
Yeah. There was a while
I guess
where...
summer isn't the right time to garden.
During summer, when I was at my neighbor's house every day, My neighbor's parents paid for a Spanish tutor to come out and teach us Spanish for like an hour, sometimes during the week. And it really, as a kid, it just feels, it always feels like a punishment to have to do anything like that during the summer. And I kind of wonder,
as an adult, you're like, man, if I'd only respected like how cool of an opportunity that was and taken it seriously.
And like, it really does. I'm kind of wondering now how they sourced that guy. I really wonder where they found a dude who did freelance summer tutoring for Spanish and was willing to drive out into the middle of the country.
Was that The Simpsons or your parents did it?
No, that was The Simpsons. Yeah, they did it.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like your parents would pay a guy to come out to teach you Spanish.
He was the one who taught me a lot of animals, though. That's where I learned Lobo, Tiburón, Ballena. Yeah.
All right. Do we want to hear what Miss Maggie has to say?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Dear Camp Weary. Oh, I remember those days so well. The tug and pull of having more time to chill with the kids and trying to keep them occupied enough to not drive you crazy all summer long. Malcolm was always super busy with work. You know, the whole running a kingdom thing. I don't know what the lore is for Miss Maggie, but maybe there's like a FAQ or a wiki somewhere that you can look this up. And so it was up to me to entertain the kids while they weren't in school. Luckily, I did have several opportunities for kids' activities held at the local convent. Though I don't think they'd appeal to today's crowd. Somehow, Haggis Baggis, Flog in the Bog, and Scotch Making 101 don't really seem like they'd be best suited for American tykes these days. I definitely don't recommend letting the kids pour the liquor. In the words of Robert Benchley, children should never mix cocktails. It's unseemly, and they use way too much vermouth. What kind of school advice column is this? I'm glad they're having fun with it. I guess it is for the adults. By this time next week, I will be happily lounging on the lanai in Boca Raton, my usual, with Terry and Bernie, cocktail in hand and soaking in some sun and local color. Without other plans in place, might I suggest a little of the same for you as well? Summer is wonderful for its lack of structure and time to do things you don't normally have, well, time for. I say, lean into it. Camps are great too. The kids love them. So if that works out and the waitlist opens up, awesome. For working moms and dads, it's the number one option. But some chill time, no matter how it comes, is important stuff. Enjoy the relaxed pace and lack of a defined schedule. Sleep in. Lounge around. Enjoy the sunshine. And take in some of the sights around you. St. Louis has plenty to offer. A lot is free or cheap. So head off to some of the many activities offered. Kind of like an extended staycation. I promise you, your future self will thank you come August when your schedule returns full force. And trust me, it will be here before you know it. Actually, I think it's a good thing your plans didn't all work out. If your calendar was turning you into a scream queen, then maybe it's best that it won't be so full this summer. Whatever you do, take some time for you too. Your kids will appreciate that as well. And parents need to recharge as much as the children do. I learned many centuries ago that a little R&R goes a long way. And except for a short jaunt to Chicago at the end of the summer of this month to catch Nikki Glaser. What? Okay. And except for a short jaunt to Chicago at the end of this month to catch Nikki Glaser, I plan to remain parked in Florida until the end of the summer. So join me in toasting to our summer vacations. May your glass be full and your calendar empty. Or at least stress less enough that you keep your sanity and have time to enjoy these upcoming lazy, hazy, crazy days. See you next school year. And, as we say in Scotland, Paul?
Slante moths.
All right. From Maggie.
Slayante moths.
Do you actually know how to say that?
What's your best guess?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like Scottish, it's probably going to be like Jeff Dunham. The letters don't even correlate to what, like, Solancha Mahath? I don't know.
Outside of taste in comedians, how do you feel about the answer?
Ooh, besides her liking Nikki Glaser, besides her being a Glazer, I thought it was a really fun answer, actually. I was fine with it, yeah.
I thought it was very personable for Catholic private schools advice column. That seemed a lot less, I don't know. I don't know what I imagined. I thought it was going to be so much more, like, odd in energy, but it was probably one of the like better answers we've read on this podcast.
All right, maybe I'll have to look up to see if Maggie fits any of our future themes. All right, you ready to get to your column?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, what you got for us, Paul?
I work for a school, and our mascot is an animal most people find lovely. Think of a lion or a puppy. In past years, we've had a very large stuffed toy of our mascot that travels between homerooms a few times a month, usually to celebrate a homeroom that has worked particularly hard or met a certain goal. This year, for reasons passing understanding, my boss, our principal, has become obsessed with a particular insect as a symbol of teamwork. The previous big, plush mascot has been replaced with a very large, 5 feet long, very detailed plush of this insect. This week, my homeroom was awarded this creature. Now, as you may have guessed, I have a problem with this bug. I have a lifelong phobia of it, actually. I'm not bothered by bugs in general, but I am legitimately scared and disgusted by this one. Having lots of these little guys turn up on staff and student-facing material as symbols of teamwork has been annoying, but I'm handling it. That said, the giant realistic one, genuinely out of my nightmares. I can physically feel my heart rate jump a little when I catch its silhouette or have to look at its creepy little face. So, the day the bug was awarded to my homeroom, I decked it out in blankets and hats with our school logo and colors, so it was less creepy to me while still a little cute fun thing in the room. The kids liked seeing it covered in school swag too, and I included some decorations specific to our homeroom. However, one of the other teachers in this homeroom really wants to get into the spirit of the bug. She has removed the decorations and blanket, moved the bug repeatedly to places where it's in my eyeline, including while I'm teaching, and drawn the kids' attention to this, making it a bit of a class joke, which makes it much harder to address in the moment without making a weird scene. I've told her in person and via message several times that while I know it's silly, the bug toy really does freak me out a little, and I'd like to keep it out of the way. She's replied with chiding and emojis, and sad emojis, and has moved the bug at least once since. The bug moves on once or twice a month, so this isn't a permanent problem, but it does make me wonder where the line is. I can accommodate the bug, it's not a debilitating phobia, and I feel more than a little silly repeatedly telling my colleague to stop moving a toy bug into my eyeline, but also feel like at a certain point I'm allowed to draw a boundary. The bug mascot is all in good fun, but what would you advise saying to this colleague who can't seem to understand I don't find this joke funny?
So it's a bee, right?
5 foot long. No, it must be a caterpillar, right?
Because caterpillars are 5 feet long?
Somebody specifying length made me think it must be like a long insect.
And what screams teamwork about a caterpillar?
Also, can we talk about how it seems like she was trying to obfuscate what school this could be by like being vague about the initial mascot and then this bug mascot? It's like any bug mascot mixed with the fact of it moving home rooms, it's there's no way this is obfuscating it to somebody who knows the school. Like, it very clearly has to
gotcha.
Be
yeah.
If you go to the school, you know it's you. It's not like she left it vague enough that you wouldn't clock it immediately.
Yeah, that's true. I also liked how her example of lovely mascots are lion or puppy.
Which, you know, do seem lovely in very different ways. Like, I don't know if that got me a single mental image of what she means by a lovely mascot.
Yeah. Have you ever, well, let's start with this. Have you ever done a prank like this on somebody?
No.
Mm.
I guess everybody in grade school at one point, like during Halloween when there was like spider... You remember those rings that were spiders and put on somebody's shoulder?
Yeah.
Something like that. But I don't think I ever did that. I feel like it just... I don't know. Wasn't that like so common? I feel like I saw it happen a bunch of times and maybe I did do it.
Yeah, maybe. I've done this before where... not exactly the same thing, but Phil has a crate for... like a basket for his dog toys. And on one side of it, it has a sign on it that says something really corny. I can't like think like live, love, laugh. And when he was living with Mandy, his previous partner, she really hated it. So she always had it turned around the other way. And so anytime I would visit Phil, I would just flip it around at some point when they weren't looking. And so that they have to do it. Yeah. So literally just the most minor of like, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to have to flip it around. And then the other thing was one time when I was doing an escape room, we were in like a creepy, haunted house type escape room. And I was kind of drunk and I wasn't solving any of the puzzles. So I just started taking the creepy doll that was in the room and like tapping people on the shoulder and just bringing up the little doll. I think I made some people kind of angry. But other than that, I mean, I've probably actually done kind of other versions of this. Sometimes I do like not really testing people's patience. I'm not like a troll, but there are sometimes like when you can tell it's like a little bit funny that like someone doesn't like something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think with friends, it's definitely different than this person doing it to their colleague.
In a workplace environment, yeah.
And especially the, like, while she's teaching.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really get that part. Is the other teacher walking in while she's teaching?
That's what I didn't. She was saying the other person who shares the same home room. Is that, like, a student teacher? Like, is she, like, one of those people where, like, there were a few years where I had, like, college students that sat in my classes or whatever? Like,
okay, that might...
Is it like that, or is
that
it,
might
like,
make more sense than what I was thinking, because I thought it was somebody who taught, like, later in that classroom. Kind of, like, remember, some of our teachers had, like, assigned rooms and some were, like, floating.
Rooms, yeah.
But then I was like, how, if this other teacher's floating, how is she moving it during class? So it must be, like, an assistant teacher or a co-teacher.
She's floating. She must be a ghost. That's way scarier. Did you ever have one of those student teachers, though, that hung out in your class?
No.
I had one in seventh grade who was a male cheerleader for USC.
Wait, yes.
He was very clearly a gay guy.
I feel like in middle school, not in high school, we definitely had, like, a time where there would be, like, yeah, like you said, like, somebody who was either in college or... I never really clocked what their whole thing was, but there would be, like, somebody around for a month.
He was pretty outspoken about, like, hanging out with us and talking to us, and we thought it was interesting that he was a male cheerleader, so I just remember asking him questions about that.
Yeah, you're like, does it get you laid a lot, brother? Come on.
I was like, come on, now dap me up, brother. I was like, whenever you lift them up, do you ever just kind of take a peek up the skirt? And he was like, never. And I was like, that's crazy, you're a strong man. He's like, ah, I am a strong man.
Yeah, it's the number one cause of female athlete injuries is them dropping them because they're distracted.
Yeah. So, in terms of the actual question, so is it a phobia or not? I don't understand. Also, sometimes when you have a cartoonish version of something you're afraid of, that breaks it. But insects are a very particular type of, they're small, and the idea of them being what they are but bigger, it just makes it worse. That doesn't really make the disconnect happen in the way that it would for other things.
Yeah. What if it was termites and not bees? Because aren't termites also a colony insect? That would be a very funny.
They are social. Yeah. Could be an ant, yeah.
Oh, ant kind of makes more sense to me in a way, but I just don't know many people who are afraid of bees. I guess not many are afraid of ants, but it makes more sense. They are a little grosser.
A lot of times people lump in wasps with bees and they'll be afraid of bees in that way because they're wrong about taxonomy. Were you ever, because we talked about how we didn't really have a mascot in elementary school, but I did have teachers where every year they'd be like, we're Miss Bennett's beavers and that's our mascot for the year.
Oh.
Were you ever an ant?
I don't remember.
You were never Miss Tara's termites? I did like being a beaver, though. That's a cute mascot.
I think we've talked about this before, the maliciousness of somebody knowing that you're set something that seems benign upsets you, using that against you, because then there's no easy recourse for complaining because you sound unreasonable.
Yeah.
And you kind of know that, but you also know that the other person's being such a jackass because it's like, I've made this clear. So there's no, like, easy way to communicate, like, this is just my thing. I really wish they would just stop. Everybody has a thing. Let me be not like bees. Keep this out of my sight. But how do you communicate that without seeming like a weird, crazed person?
It feels like you could just really lean into the solution that you already had, which was, like, putting a bunch of school swag on it, which the kids liked.
Yeah.
Made it easier for you. And then the other teacher took it off. Just be like, oh, no, the kids like it. Let's keep doing
that. That's why you need to make it pride clothing. So when they take it off, you can complain about them.
Oh, yeah. And the school district will definitely have your side on that. Let's see. You could either start a grassroots movement to get the mascot replaced.
The principal loves it,
though. You can try and stick with the swag.
The principal is like, we should all be like bees. We should all work together.
I don't know. That is so funny to, like, have it, like, in, if it's messing up with your actual teaching and, like, schoolwork, maybe it's worth getting administration involved. I just like the idea of them turning around and being like, it's right behind me, isn't it?
It's half a month at most, and, or what, did they say bi-monthly? Do you think that's the type of bi where it's 2 months or half a month?
I think it's the one where it likes girl months and boy months.
Once or twice a month, okay. So...
I can physically feel my heart rate jump a little when I catch its silhouette. That's pretty crazy.
I don't know. To me, it seems like something that I wouldn't want to push because I might sound unreasonable, so I would try to get over it, but...
I guess that's kind of what I was getting at with the student-teacher thing. If it's someone you have seniority over, you should be able to just make them do what you want. It doesn't seem like that's the situation here. And you do have a written text record of you saying... in a reasonable way, this is how you feel and them not taking you seriously.
I know, but who wants to go through, like, the next week of back and forth emails with administration and, like, you know, creating a weird controversy where even if you get your way, somebody might, like, clock it and be like, oh, they're unreasonable, or
they're a fuddy-duddy.
What do you call it? They're a hard person to get along with or something. It's like, is that worth the weird reputation?
They're not a team player.
Yeah.
I don't think it shouldn't be that hard to go talk to the principal one-on-one and say, I don't want this awarded to my classroom anymore. But maybe then the kids are going to be mad.
That's
about
true.
That.
It seems
they're going to feel like they're not doing well.
Yeah, that feels like something where there should be like a person you can just secretly tell, like, can you just come up with a reason to get this out of here? Like somebody you're friendly with in leadership. Can you just
now
move it?
My advice to the student teacher or the other teacher is to put it in their house.
Oh, yeah. We'll buy a bunch of them so it's confusing to her how they move it so quickly. You got to find the exact same one.
Oh, a prestige.
Yeah.
You find out that it's twin mascots at the end. That's how they do it.
In the teacher's lounge, she opens a cupboard and it's there and she's like, what? And then she goes back to the classroom and it's already there. You're just driving them insane. They're like, how'd they even get it here so quickly?
That one's going to be harder to report. That one does actually make you seem like you're going crazy. Yeah, it's supposed to be an award. So like, it does feel like you can't just say, don't put this in my class anymore.
Destroy it and pretend it was an accident.
Suggest to the school that you guys do class pets and that instead of having a stuffed bee, you have a whole hive of bees.
I think that'd be worse for this person with a phobia.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, you've dealt with this of bee phobia, right? Because you wanted to store your research bees in a certain building and didn't people complain because just the idea of bees, they thought they were going to get stung. So you had to, I don't know, agree to move them somewhere else.
Yeah, that's basically the story, I had to go move them out.
Yeah.
I got an email from my advisor saying that I was responding to people too aggressively and that you have to understand that people aren't as familiar with bees as we are. Mm. I had to get checked by my advisor on that one. I was in there calling people liars.
Show me the sting. I don't believe you.
That's what I said. I was like, there's no way someone's getting stung multiple times in there, like, unless they're doing something wrong. But yeah, I think there's still a hole in there from when I had to try and get a tube outside for the bees to get out. But yeah, my experience with that is losing and having to capitulate to the, uninformed masses.
Hey, maybe, the answer is exposure therapy. Maybe we need to teach this teacher to love bees.
Or termites or ants.
Or termites or ants.
Or wasps. None of which are bugs,
by the way. Do you have anything like this where it's just such a particular thing for you? Because I don't think I do where, like, I mean, even the part where she was like, the images on our paperwork that have little images of bees, I can get over it, but I don't like it. It's like, that feels wild to me. Like, what's gross enough to me that I wouldn't even want to see a little image of it?
I don't know. There are certain things that I look at and go like, oh, that's a little bit creepy. But I don't think anything would stop me from being able to teach a class, though. I can't think of anything that would stop me in
or
my tracks
even just like
that for being in my eye line.
I don't know, make your stomach churn if you saw it on paperwork? Like, that throws me off. Like, that's a real, like,
yeah,
phobia,
that is crazy. What's the current psychology on this? Are these things innate, or are they, like, from someone who had a traumatic experience with a bee? Or I have a friend who's afraid of butterflies because of a traumatic event. Because she fell asleep on the beach as a young child once and woke up and a bunch of butterflies were on her.
Oh, interesting.
I asked if she was wearing floral print and she said no. She thinks they're attracted to her sweat. And I was like, yeah, that also checks out. They do seek out salt. Yeah. Mm. I think I described this in an early episode where we talked about an elevator phobia or something like that, where you starve the patient and then if they want to eat, they have to do it in the vicinity of the thing they're afraid of.
That sounds extra traumatic. That seems like it would make you more scared of it.
No, that's how you get over it. It's you know, it's a type of exposure therapy.
I can't remember if this was like anecdotal or where I read this, but it was like something about how like a lot of parents like will double traumatize their children by accident because if like your kid's afraid of dark, there'd be, you know, like old school parents that'd be like, oh, so what we're going to do is like I'm going to walk them into the basement and then we're going to
blind you.
Yeah. And then they like lock the door or something. They're like, get used to it. But that just ends up making the child even like more deathly afraid of it because now they associate it with like being abandoned and locked and terrified
and being abused by their parents.
So maybe exposure therapy. I don't know how you have to do it in a healthy way that doesn't make the person double traumatized. I guess they have to have full control. They have to be able to walk away if they get scared,
but then they're not going to challenge themselves. Do you think anyone's ever faked a phobia to try and get exposure therapy where they're like, yeah, I'm really afraid of having little kissies on my forehead?
Is that a thing people want?
Is that a thing people do?
I thought you were about to be like, I'm afraid of getting laid.
I think we'd solve the male loneliness. It's not that type of show. I think we'd solve the male loneliness epidemic if we did it like that.
Find out what your co-teacher's fear is and use that to harass them, to teach them a lesson.
Ooh. Hmm.
And it turns out their fear is being in a Saw-style situation, so you have to kidnap them.
Oh, bear claw. Bear trap. Is that what it is? Reverse bear trap?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like as the older I've gotten, when you ask people about their fears, they're less silly fun things and more like serious things that you're like sad to hear about.
Abandonment.
Yeah. I think you have to quit your job and move to the school that's the Cougars.
Mm.
Nice and safe. Get a job at Pleasant Hill Middle School.
Hey, I like that we're doing recruitment now.
Yeah. All right. You want to read the answer or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right.
Your coworker is being obnoxious. As soon as you told her that the bug freaked you out and you'd like to keep it out of the way, that should have put an end to it. There's no reason that whatever fun she's getting from the bug should trump your ability to be comfortable in your workspace, and she's making it a class joke with students. WTF. Her sad emojis are just sigh. I wonder how she would handle a student with a phobia. As for your question about where the line is, it sounds like your phobia might not be severe enough to rise to the level of ADA protection if it doesn't interfere with major life activities. But that would just mean the law doesn't mandate that you be accommodated. Common sense and general decency still do. Setting the law aside, the way stuff like this should be navigated is via the principle that an employee's ability to be physically and mentally comfortable in their workplace and do their job is more important than optional stuff that's just for fun. So your fear of this bug trumps your coworker's joy at having it around because you need to be able to do your work without being terrified, while she doesn't need to experience the pleasure of a giant stuffed bug. She might like to, but when you weigh the two needs, yours clearly wins out. If you can do both, great, but when they're in conflict, people's ability to do their jobs wins out. That's true whether we're talking about phobias or allergies or inability to focus because of barking. Similarly, when someone has allergies, their ability to breathe and not have headaches while at work trumps someone else's desire to wear perfume or bring their dogs to meetings, unless it's a service dog, which would be what's called dueling accommodations, where both needs are important and the employer would enter an interactive process with both people to see if they can solve it. How straightforward and direct have you been with your coworker? Have you softened the message at all in an attempt to be collegial? If so, the next step is to unsoften it and say something like, I think I haven't been clear enough. I have a phobia of this bug, and having it in my eyeline is interfering with my ability to focus on my job. I need you to stop moving it, period. Can you agree to that? We're asking whether she can agree, because if she won't, then your next step, if you want the next step, is to escalate it to someone who will tell her to cut it out. And ideally, we'll explain that she's being a jerk and that it's not okay to mess with people who have clearly asked you to stop.
Hmm. All right. Technical advice. I didn't really think about bringing up ADA stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Very accurate, to the point, and mature.
Speaking of which, that when I mentioned earlier about having no carry-on bag, one of the hacks that I'm going to try and do is bringing a diabetes bag that I also put a bunch of other stuff into, because they can't stop me from bringing in an extra medicine bag. So I'll let the audience know if that works or not the next episode. Yeah, I don't know. Very, I mean, it's all true. Everything she said was right. Not as funny, but very true.
That's the thing about Allison Green. She doesn't bring the yucks.
She ain't got the yucks. But you know what? We've said before, we don't need the advice columnist to do that. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
And so that's why I'm going to say, once again, the person who's scared of the bug should make the other person scared of the bug. If you induce a fear in them, then they also won't want the bug to be there.
Mm. So you need
Put live bees in their house.
That's going to be hard with your own fear of bees.
Well, you can pay someone to do it. Pay a local beekeeper to do it.
I think that's proper escalation.
I do remember at one point during the strike, that was Marshall's floated idea, was like, you know, instead of shutting down the intersection, we could just put some beehives out there. And I was like, hell yeah, brother, let's do it.
Instead of dueling accommodations, I think you should duel her.
You mean it's your move? So battle her in the shadow realm.
I'm at old school, walk 10 paces, turn around with your old-timey flintlock pistol, and fire.
You know, what's funny is that of all the advice columns, not to mention therapy, and I said I don't know if these things can be cured, it is interesting that this was one where they weren't like, maybe see a therapist too. They could always add that. Why not also add that to this one?
Yeah, why not? I don't know. If you have a fear of bees, how much, like, do you need to solve that as an adult? Other well, than this one specific situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you answered your own question.
All right, do you want to get to the third segment?
Yeah, let's do it. Hold on, let me bring up my Word doc. All right, so what we're doing here, Paul and I decided we're going to play a little game, not completely unlike Saw, but the idea that we're doing is we're going to ask each other five questions. Each question is going to be a who would you rather do this with or, you know, have for this. And the answers are all going to be from a roster of mascots, famous mascots from fast food, from ads, from companies. And we're going to have to decide which mascot we would prefer to do that question with. So, Paul, if you want to go first,
Let's give each other our list of mascots first that we have to choose from.
Oh, shit. I think I might have misremembered how we were doing this game. I only have three choices for each one.
Oh, I thought we were doing five mascots, and each time we have to pick from the list, whittling it down.
Oh, that's how I described it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That does make more sense. I forgot about that and did it a different way.
All right, so we're playing two different games.
All right, we're doing two different games.
I'll give you a list of five mascots, and for me, I'll have three to choose from for each question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two for the first one, but yeah.
Okay, for you, Adrian, your five mascots are...
So we're doing it TikTok style, okay.
The Kool-Aid Man, the Trix Rabbit, okay. Spuds McKenzie,
okay.
The Burger King, or the Burger King Burger King, and Cocky.
Hey, let's go. Spuds McKenzie is the slurm?
I think this would do you well to actually look up a Spuds McKenzie ad. It's the Bud Light dog.
Oh.
A lot of people were upset about because they thought he was making beer look cool for children.
Why did I think that was from Futurama?
Because they did a play off of him.
Wait, what breed of dog is this? Does anyone actually have this breed of dog? This is the Target dog too, right? Did they put this dog down or did they transfer him to a new department to what the Target?
You are misgendering the dog because one of the controversies was that even though it's a male dog in the ads, it was a female dog playing the character.
It was a bitch.
Whoa, that is an accurate term.
I don't know if this has to do with the Epstein list, but right now what I'm looking at is a picture of Spuds McKenzie with Donald Trump and two women. So I don't know Spuds McKenzie on the list, but...
That is Spuds' vibe. That is Spuds' vibe.
That he was on Epstein's list? Today I learned the dog that portrayed Spuds McKenzie was a female bull terrier named Honey Tree Evil Eye.
He drove Cadillacs. He played the drums. Women loved him. He was Spuds McKenzie.
Let's see. Okay, Spuds McKenzie, 1987 Bud Light commercial.
There he is. What a happening dude.
They're a super party animal. His name is Spuds McKenzie. Barbecue inside. Do-do-do, a barbecue. And a cold Bud Light.
A cold Bud Light.
Puts him in a party frenzy.
In a party frenzy.
He's Spuds McKenzie, Bud Light's original party animal.
Oh, he does play the drums. That's cool. Okay. And that was supposed to make kids want to drink?
I think that's the claim that was made. He was too cool.
Gotcha. He is pretty cool. He's the original party animal.
Okay, I'll ask you my question first, one of mine.
All right.
Who would you want to wingman for you on a night when you invited two dates to the same party by accident?
Ooh, okay. The Trix Rabbit, Spuds McKenzie,
Kool-Aid Man, the Burger King,
Cocky, or Burger King. Okay, well, Burger King's taller and handsomer than I am, so I don't want him wingmanning for me. I feel like that one's obviously going to be Cocky, but I don't know if I want to take Cocky out of the game this early, because Cocky could be fun for a lot of different things. Like, if one of your questions is, who would you want to do coke with in a bathroom at a dive bar? That's obviously Cocky. But I think that's true. I think Cocky, he doesn't speak, so all he's going to do is like tap on them and point at me and be like, fun guy, look at him. You know, like,
but they also have to be able to distract for when you go to hang out with the other.
Exactly. So you can poke him and go, look over there, don't look at Adrian.
Oh, okay.
Look at me dance. Okay, Cocky. Yeah, I'm going to do Cocky.
Cocky, okay. Cocky is going to be on your double date night situational comedy experience.
I mean, obviously you got to pick the guy with a wing to be your wingman. Come on now.
Come on now.
All right. You ready for your first one?
Yeah.
So, yeah, me forgetting the actual idea that I pitched. Here's my first question for you. Which would you rather drive daily? The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile or the 14-carat mobile?
The 14-carat mobile would... I feel like it probably has more storage in it. Well, actually, maybe if the...
It's Oscar, definitely smaller.
Yeah, but the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, I don't know how much like of that is... how much of those buns are buns. I don't know how much... I feel like that's filled, right? Or is that storage space? I don't feel like you could put people in that area, you know? You're not taking that camping.
Yeah, but this is a daily driver. This isn't a daily driver. A camper.
That one's definitely more famous.
Oh, so you know what? Actually, people. Hold up. I'm going to go ahead. This is my only one that I had too, and I just thought of a third one. If you want to, you can get the Rickmobile, the huge Rick and Morty Rick on a van that they drove to promote season 6 or 7. I can't remember.
I don't know that one that well, so I'm going to go ahead and knock it out of the running.
All right. Wubba-lubba-dub-dub.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. Oh, unless it has like a... Unless its horn makes a wubba-lubba-dub-dub sound, and then I'm going to have to reconsider.
No, it just plays the theme song in its entirety. Every time you press it.
I think the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is going to turn more heads, because the 14-carat thing is very Lexington-specific. I don't know how many of those they have.
Yeah, you're going to be driving that around D.C.
Yeah, I feel like people are just going to be like
slightly
interested, but not.
In both of these cars, the AC works, by the way.
Well, now I'm just psyched to get either. You know, I don't think I could park the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile anywhere, so I'm going to have to
You don't know how to park your wiener?
No, it shares a similar problem with me in that it doesn't fit many places.
It's not that kind of show.
Okay, 14-carat truck, because I think that'd be a better daily driver. It's going to fit in more regular parking spots. You're going to be able to take it around.
All right. That was also what Phil picked when I practiced this game with him.
Plus, I'd be like a god in Lexington.
Yeah, in L-Town? Are you kidding me? I mean, I told you that I went to summer tennis camp with the daughter of the lady who owned that store, so she got dropped off in the 14-carat mobile.
And everybody got organic veggies that summer.
No, they didn't give away anything for free. They're capitalists.
Who would you want to third mic on Big Facts No Cap? The Trix Rabbit.
Oh, why Kool-Aid did I get rid of Cocky?
Spuds McKenzie or the Burger King?
Well, the Burger King's a human. The Kool-Aid Man just says, oh yeah. Spuds McKenzie's a dog. Does Spuds McKenzie talk in this reality or...
I don't think he talked in the commercials I watched.
So you can only drum for us? That's all you can do?
Yeah, I guess he could drum.
You know, one of the mascots that I didn't pick would have been good for this question is Dos Equis, the most interesting man in the world. Oh. I don't know when they stopped doing those commercials, but that was always an interesting one.
I just feel like he might have some problematic opinions. I don't know why.
He's the most interesting man in the world. Interesting is controversial, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that some sheep?
Didn't he go on Joe Rogan and say that the vaccine gives you, like, big balls or whatever?
Interesting. That's interesting. That's an interesting idea to have. Yeah, on the basis of the Trix Rabbit, I don't think is going to be that interesting. I'm going to save him for another question. I'm going to go with the Burger King King. Let's have the King on.
Yeah, his personality, I know he likes to, like, race and rally races because they made that video game for him.
Oh, I was thinking more of when they introduced a new breakfast line and the bit was he was waking up in bed with you, which I think might be why some people kind of became terrified of him. I don't know.
He doesn't really speak that often, but I think he can. He probably can speak.
Yeah, he can speak. Yeah. He's got to make decrees. He's got to rule over the land. All right. Who would you rather go on a first date with, Paul? Flo from Progressive, unanimated. The Starbucks Mermaid or Wendy Thomas?
Starbucks Mermaid has never been personified. She feels too 2D to me. You said the what?
You're calling her flat-chested and flat-assed? That's why you're turning her down? That's crazy. She has a great personality. But you do need to boycott.
You can only do above the waist stuff with her.
I'm telling you, but her cloaca?
And who was the third person?
Wendy Thomas.
The child?
Wendy.
Flo from Progressive.
Oh, okay. That seems like an easier choice than the first one. So you got the hots for Flo from Progressive. Interesting. Okay, I didn't know you were that kind of guy.
Yeah, she's really pretty, right? She kind of has that, remember that meme of the, what was it, the overly attached girlfriend always? She kind of looks like her. Mm. She kind of has that sort of like pale.
Just like a girl next door brunette type thing?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. I hope Izzy doesn't listen to this episode.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to be in the doghouse.
She knows who your hall pass is. Hey, rough, rough. You're going to be there with Spuds McKenzie.
Who would you want to represent you as your lawyer for a murder case that you definitely did commit? The Trix Rabbit, Kool-Aid Man, or Spuds McKenzie?
I don't think the other options. I guess Burger King would have been maybe the option, but he wouldn't be a lawyer. I think this is another one where speaking is a big part of it, so I have to take that into consideration. So I hope nothing sexual comes up when I only have Spuds McKenzie left.
Kool-Aid Man's going to be held in contempt at court every time he bursts through the wall.
I think that'll buy me some time, though, because the other one is the Trix Rabbit. According to the B-movie, animated characters have a pretty good success rate at winning legal disputes. So I'm going to go Trix Rabbit.
Okay. You don't think it's going to annoy the judge when he's going to be like, imagine this man. Some children refused to let him eat cereal. Now, that would be a pretty good reason for somebody to get fired up and angry, right? And it couldn't be held responsible for anything you did after such a situation.
Now I might just be a simple country rabbit lawyer. Next question for you, Paul. It ain't easy being green. Who would you rather sit next to on a 12-hour international flight? Duo, the owl from Duolingo? Mr. Mucinex from Mucinex commercials?
Is that the green or monster?
The green booger, not a monster. That's crazy to say. I hope you don't. I hope you're not racist to him when you're sitting next to him on this flight. Or the Jolly Green Giant.
How big is the Jolly Green Giant? Is it, like, would it hit the plane roughly, explode?
Yeah, roughly the size of the plane. Yeah. Maybe if you're on a big one, like on a Boeing 737 or whatever, 747.
I guess the Duolingo owl. That, I mean, he's kind of a big boy, but seems less.
He's also insane. He's also got a dump truck ass. He's also going to be filming TikToks the entire time.
You gave me three horrible options. That makes the most sense to me because you know you're getting sick if you sit next to the Mucinex guy.
No, you just take Mucinex.
No, he's sniffly.
What?
He's a booger. He's going to be boogering all over you.
Oh, I'm sure he's a fine person to be with.
How is the owl insane? Is the owl going to, like, try to open the door mid-flight?
Yeah, probably for a TikTok, or it's going to pull out a knife. Like, that's the level of insanity we're talking about here for the Duolingo owl.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe being sick
Speaking
is
of which, I just got an email from the Duolingo owl about me being 30 days off Duo.
Duolingo. Damn. Did he threaten you?
No, it was about how sad Duo was with its ass cheeks floating up in the air. It was ridiculous. Its head was down because he was sad, but also his ass was up.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's like corporate branding. I think he's a cool guy if you get to know him. Gonna go Duolingo owl.
Really? Okay, yeah. And he definitely knows your language.
Okay, who would you want to be your opposite in a body swap movie where you both learn an important lesson about walking in somebody else's shoes? The Kool-Aid Man or Spuds McKenzie?
Oh, Spuds McKenzie, because Spuds would be the one learning stuff. I'd be having a cool ass life, and that, like, my lesson would be like, man, I wish I was a dog.
And I guess
I know I'm a dirty dog, but I wish I was a dog.
I guess I'll just finish it off for you because you have one option for your last one, or do you want to wait?
Yeah, what do we got?
And I guess Kool-Aid Man wins by default. Who would you want to turn into a real human and free from their bondage as a corporate icon?
I'm so glad I didn't do that to the Burger King King.
You think it would be torture for him?
So what would the Kool-Aid Man look like as a human?
John Goodman?
Oh, and he'll do fine. Yeah, sounds good. All right, I'm happy with my choices. Honestly, if I knew everything ahead of time, probably wouldn't do anything too different. Did you have any female representation on yours?
Spuds.
By a technicality, okay. All right.
Do we know what gender cocky is? That's not a
hen. Cocky, that's a dude thing. Cocky's a dude. He's a rooster. All right. Who would you rather engage in hand-to-hand combat with? The General, Toomgis, or Gritty?
Who's Toomgis?
Toomgis, you can look him up. He's the AMPM mascot. Y'all ain't rocking with Toomgis?
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen this person.
You've never seen Toomgis?
This is terrifying. This is like Labubu and...
He's got food hair. He's made of hot dogs and hamburgers and nachos. He's got candy, yeah.
Imagine a troll doll and Labubu combined.
Made of food. So you could eat your way through him if you had to fight him in hand-to-hand combat. And then obviously you're familiar with the General, and you know Gritty, right?
I do know Gritty. Gritty and Toomgis have the same vibe where they are.
Yeah. They're not going to play by any rules. You can set up any rules you want for rock fighting them, but like, so do you think it should be you and 99 other men versus Toomgis and Gritty?
It feels like gorillas. Like they would just tear me apart in like an inhuman way. It would be horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got to fight the General. I mean, he might be strapped, but I still think I have a better shot.
I think in an anime-esque fight, I think Toomgis would at one point reveal that he likes to play with his food before finishing it. So you're going to fight the General? Yeah. Serbian veteran?
I think he's the most human. He is pretty short, which, not to come after our short king, sorry, Adrian, I think that gives me a leg up.
Well, you're going to do the thing where you put your hand on his forehead and he can't reach you?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So you're going to fight the veteran. That's who you want to fight.
Yeah.
You're going to say, thank you for your service.
Well, you don't have to thank leaders of foreign militaries for their service.
Oh, I do. All right. And then the last question, I think you got it right on that one. I also wouldn't want to fight Toomgis or Gritty. Number 5, who would you rather capture, tear away from their family and friends, butcher, and then cook up in a cast iron pan with some butter, garlic, and rosemary? Elsie the cow from Borden, the Chick-fil-A cows from Chick-fil-A, Elmer the bull from Elmer Glue, or the laughing cow?
You know what? Those Chick-fil-A cows are riding high with their eat more chicken shit.
Mm.
It's a little smug.
So that's the reason you're going to eat them?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get people to pick a more sustainable option?
I just don't like that they're throwing their fellow farm animals under the bus. That's not solidarity.
Oh, you think they ain't got no solidarity?
That's not solidarity.
It's certainly not y'allidarity. That was also Phil's pick, but Phil's argument was that they're homophobic, so he's allowed to kill them and eat them.
Is that true about homophobes? I don't know if I follow that logic.
Homophobic cows.
I'll meditate on that. I'll think about it.
Also, it's the only one where you get multiple cows to butcher, so.
Oh, yeah. Economically, it just makes the most sense. You could sell that meat. I guess the Chick-fil-A chickens can spell rudimentally.
Chick-fil-A chickens?
The Chick-fil-A cows can spell in a rudimentary way.
If someone humanizes them, they can literally say help, like help me,
but
while you're trying
well
to kill them.
They don't spell well.
They would say help me.
HLP.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in which case, I'd probably pick the laughing cow. I'd be like, why are you always smiling? Ain't shit sweet.
All right. Cool, Adrian.
All right. Big fact, no cap?
Big fact, no cap.
All right. What you got for us, Paul? My no cap, if you've ever fallen in love with a company's mascot, that's you falling for some advertiser's trick to try and get you to consume more, you dumb little dummy.
And my big fact is, more mascots should be friendly animals. Why are we out here fighting all the time? Let's bring society together, not tear us apart. Bye, buddy.
Bye.